In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins and to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you.
Almighty and most merciful God, the protector of all who trust in you, strengthen our faith and give us courage to believe that in your love you will rescue us from all adversities. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Apostles' Tide is from the first book of Moses called Genesis, the ninth chapter. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be as a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. This is the word of the Lord."
Give thanks to the God of heaven,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who by understanding made the heavens,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who made the great lights,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
The moon and stars to rule over the night,
for his steadfast love endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Give thanks to the God God of heaven.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the 3rd chapter. Brothers, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Immediately after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the 3rd day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father,
and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading. About the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, I am. Do not be afraid. This is our text. Immediately before sending the disciples in the boat across the Sea of Galilee was the feeding of the 5,000 in Israel. We heard about this last Sunday. Jesus fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish, not just a miracle of his power, but a miracle of his great compassion for sheep that were without a shepherd. We were told that everyone ate and was satisfied. Jesus sent the disciples then in the boat across the sea, and he remained behind to give his benediction, to dismiss the crowds. You might recall that this is the second time that the disciples are in the Sea of Galilee in a storm in the Gospel of Mark. Both times, Jesus is the one who sends them into the boat. He sends them off going. But the first time in Mark 4 was different because Jesus was actually there with them. We're told that he was asleep in the stern. This time, he's more distant. He's not in the boat. He's not even near the shore any longer. He's nowhere to be seen. He's gone up on a mountain to pray by himself. It's interesting when you read in the Gospels about Jesus praying. For whom does Jesus pray? Throughout his ministry, he carries on a conversation with the Father in heaven, the one from whom all fathers are named. What are they speaking about? Well, we see glimpses in a few places in the Gospels. Jesus is speaking with his Father about his identity, about his mission as the incarnate Son of God. He discusses with the Father all that he came to do for us and for our salvation. Which means it's not like Jesus sent the disciples out on the boat and then he's off doing something else not related. Jesus clearly is praying on the mountain for his disciples. He hasn't forgotten about them. His eye isn't off of them. He's not ignorant of what they're up against or where they are. He knows their needs. And that's why he's praying for them. I think it's so important for us to remember this, because there are times for us when it feels like Jesus is far away, when it feels like perhaps he's not listening or he doesn't care. And yet when we consider him here, it is precisely because he cares that he is there praying for them. And our dear Lord, though not on a mountain now, it's not like he's up on Wachusett, where is he? He is ascended on high at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing there? He is interceding. He is praying for you and for me. So the picture is this. Jesus has gone up to pray, and the disciples are in the boat, and evening comes with the boat bobbing up and down on the water. It's out to sea a good ways, maybe 3 or 4 miles, which would have been about halfway across the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus is back there alone on the land, separated from his disciples by space. But notice what it says. He saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. Here we're not given the perspective of the disciples. We're given a perspective from beyond, from outside the boat, from up on the mountain. We don't know what their reaction was like when they were making headway painfully. We don't know if they were afraid again that they would perish. We don't know if the waves were swamping them. What we do know is this: Jesus saw them. What a beautiful statement. Jesus, while he is at prayer, he sees the disciples and he knows what they're going through. He sees that the wind is against them and that they are making headway painfully. It seems to me that that could be a description
oftentimes for our lives as well. They were making headway painfully, and the wind was against them. Isn't that how it so often seems? Not with the wind at our backs carrying us along, but the wind driving against our faces, pushing back at us. And it is hard. And life is a challenge. It is difficult. But Jesus saw. He saw then, and he sees you. He knows when the wind is against you. He knows when you find that you are making headway painfully. The disciples may have been wondering, though, what they were doing there, remembering that Jesus is the one who sent them into the boat. And just a reminder here, Jesus often asks the disciples to do things that are difficult or even impossible. The feeding of the 5,000, when they came to him and said, you know, it's getting late, and they're getting pretty hungry. Why don't you just send the people away? And Jesus said, do you remember what he said? You give them something to eat. Here he sends them out on what likewise might seem to be an impossible journey across the Sea of Galilee in the face of the wind. Impossible for them, of course, it is. They cannot feed 5,000 people, not even with 5 loaves and 2 fish. There are times when the storms are so great and the headway is so strong that they cannot make it across by themselves. And I don't think Jesus' intention in every challenge that they face is for them to dig deeper inside of themselves and figure it out. What is Jesus teaching them? What is he teaching us? What are we learning in this moment as we wonder how we will make it through when we can't see Jesus with us in the boat and the wind is against us? But the same thing we learn week after week, to come back to him and to trust in him and to rely upon him. Now, this is the 4th watch of the night, just prior to dawn. I think that's such a lovely picture. The dawn is close at hand. Even when they've been working so tirelessly through all the night, the dawn is about to break. But not just the dawn of a new day, the dawn of the Son of God coming to them across the waves. And so Jesus comes. He sees them. He comes walking on the water, walking on the sea. And we can't help but hear echoes from the creation. In the beginning, when God created everything, the Spirit was hovering over the waters. Or think of Job, who, when he declares the power and majesty of God as creator, said that he alone is the one who stretched out the heavens and trampled on the waves of the sea. He and no one else entered into the springs of the deep and walked in the recesses of the deep, trampling on the waves of the sea. That's what Jesus was doing. Or you can think back to the reading from Genesis that we heard, when God put that bow in the sky, the rainbow, a reminder of his promise to act in mercy and to be gracious. When it says that God will look at the rainbow and remember, it does not mean that he's going to forget. It means that he's going to remember and act in mercy, for he would never again send a worldwide flood upon the earth. Jesus came to them, walking on the sea, and it says he meant to pass by them. He meant to pass by them. Isn't that one of the most curious lines in the scriptures? Here he is, the exact thing you would hope is happening, and Jesus is coming to them on the water, and he means to just go on past. It's jarring. It's strange. Why would he do that? Well, our immediate reaction might be that he was going to pass by ignoring them. That's not what it's saying here. He's going to pass by them to reveal himself. You have to remember a couple of Old Testament passages here. Thinking back to the book of Exodus, when God, the Lord, revealed himself to Moses, God said to Moses, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. And then the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. When the Lord passed by Moses, it was not to ignore him, but it was to reveal himself to Moses as the God who is gracious and merciful and full of steadfast love. And if the disciples would have remembered it when they saw him passing by, they would have said, the Lord, a God gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. For this is the character of your God. This is what defines who he is. The great I am, Yahweh the Lord. He is the gracious one. He is the one full of steadfast love and mercy, who passes by not to leave them, but who passes by to strengthen them. Another passage from the Old Testament that it calls to mind is the prophet Elijah. You may remember that time when Elijah thought that he was the last prophet on earth. And he ran off away because the king was out to kill him, and he runs to the mountain of Horeb, and he goes there and he basically prays, Lord, I'm done, I've had it, just kill me now. And the Lord comes to him when he is despairing of his life, and he says, go and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, strengthened him, gave him courage to face what was ahead, so that no longer did Elijah have to give up his life in despair, but rather he could go forth and speak the word of God in strength. So here's the thing. He meant to pass by them is not an ignore them, but a show himself to them, to reveal himself as the great I am, the Lord of creation. So if it ever feels like the Lord means to pass by you, take that not as a judgment or a problem, but as a blessing that he is coming near to strengthen you. But they didn't get it. They had forgotten the scriptures. They'd forgotten Exodus and 1 Kings and all the other passages that speak about the Lord's merciful nature. Out on the sea, they weren't looking for Jesus. They weren't praying for him to come near. They were simply making headway painfully, busy with the task, and they had no reason whatever to expect Jesus to be there. And then they saw him, and they were afraid. They thought he was a ghost, and they cried out in terror. Some of us maybe have had this experience where we were not expecting to meet God. We were not expecting to find him. We were not looking for him in any way. But then he came to us. And I don't mean in some mystical, magical way, but he came to us through his word. And suddenly we met him again when we weren't expecting. Maybe it terrified us as we realized who this is. There's a sense, of course, in which the disciples were right to cry out. Not because Jesus was a ghost. He never was a ghost and never will be a ghost. Far from it. But because he is more than a mere man. This is not just a mortal man walking on the sea. You and I can't do this. He can do it because he is not only true man, but he is also true God. And that is when he stops passing by and he simply turns into the boat and comes to them and says to them, speaks amid that chaos and amid that terror, he speaks, he says, take heart, I am. Don't be afraid. Such precious words amid the chaos and terror of their world. Such precious words as they face into the wind and are making headway painfully. He gets in the boat. The wind ceases. They are astounded. Their hardened hearts are being softened. They who didn't understand about the loaves, they still didn't get it, are starting to get it a little bit better. Do they get it fully? No. Are all the pieces connected in their minds? No. And thanks be to God for that, because I don't know about you, but for myself, I think I can say I'm not sure I fully get it yet either. But every Sunday, more of the pieces are connecting as the Lord comes and meets me and you here with his grace and mercy. We can reflect a little bit thinking about the disciples here, their own lack of comprehension and the hardness of their hearts. And we can ask ourselves, where am I lacking understanding? Where am I one who has a hardness of heart? Where am I one who doesn't understand about the loaves or even about the walking on water? Maybe we've been looking for Jesus and not seeing him. The world is broken after all, and we want God to make things right. Maybe we fear that he's gone or absent or not real. Or maybe we haven't been looking for Jesus, and here he comes. Here he comes amid the chaos and the terror and the struggles of life. And he speaks his word to us again. Take heart. I am. Don't be afraid. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the Jesus who is not far away, who is not simply high and alone somewhere where you cannot know him or hear him. This is the Jesus who meant to pass by, but instead has stopped to be with you here in his holy word and in his holy sacraments. There was another time that comes to mind with some of the disciples and the women when they came actually this time looking for Jesus, expecting to find him, and were surprised, even perhaps terrified. They came to the tomb early on Sunday morning. The fourth watch of the night, they set out and they got to the tomb at dawn, and they were looking for Jesus, looking for the crucified, dead, and buried Jesus. They were expecting to find him where they laid him, but they didn't find him there. He wasn't dead. He wasn't in the tomb. He is risen. And they met the unexpected sight of that empty grave and an angel who said, "Don't be afraid. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." Or the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, just walking along, not expecting to meet Jesus there, hearing from this stranger about the scriptures and the Messiah and everything the Messiah came to do, and Jesus acted like he was going farther, and they invited him in. "Abide with us. Stay with us, Lord." And he does. He came to them. He sat with them at the table. He broke the bread with them. And they saw, "It is the Lord. Take heart. Don't be afraid. I am." This is what Jesus says to you today. For he is at the right hand of the Father, praying for you, and he is at the same time here, coming to meet you. He sees, he comes, he knows. Perhaps not always in the way that we are expecting, but always in the way that he has promised. As the Lord, a God gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love for you. He sees and he comes, even to the bread and the wine, saying, "This is my body, this is my blood. Take heart, sins forgiven, life received, don't be afraid. I am your Lord." In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the needs of the church and of the world. Heavenly Father, you have made us your own dear children through holy baptism. Strengthen us with power by your Holy Spirit in our inner being, that your Son may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we would be rooted and grounded in love. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, you are able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Be glorified in your church and in Christ Jesus. Give us deep faith to comprehend and confess with all the saints the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Provide our sister Linda with the peace and direction needed for her upcoming missionary service in Germany. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, as you preserved Noah and his family and brought new life out of the ark under the promise of your covenant, bless now our families also. Make marriages strong and fruitful according to your will. Bless Carly, Liz, Casey, Stephanie, Annie, and all expectant mothers with good health and strength. Let your word rule in every home, uniting our households and communities in forgiveness and causing your Son to dwell among us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of might, spare us and future generations from wickedness. Give blessing to our nation and its leaders to rule according to your good pleasure. Protect the members of our armed forces, especially Jamie, Anthony, Emily and Brandon, Scott, Tim and Kay, Jake, Dalton, Jake and Ryan, Lucia, John, Tom and Stephen. Protect our police as well, especially our brother Steve, and all local officers and state troopers. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as your people, we cry out for your healing upon Luann as she undergoes her procedure, Joyce as she awaits testing, Kristen as she recovers from her broken leg, as well as Diane, Marilyn, Al, Ann, Jared, Donna, Mark, Ed, John, Kay, Bobby, Michelle, and all those in need. Even as you sent your Son to heal and make whole, teach them ever to trust in your love, for you never leave nor forsake them. Lord, in your mercy. Grant your peace to all who are homebound, especially to Donna, Anita, Georgia, Barbara, Ruth, Joan, Ed, Jeanette, and Andrea, that they might spend their days as your own dearly beloved children. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, do not allow our hearts to become hardened by indifference or frustration. Lead us to your blessed sacrament with repentance and faith, that eating your true body and drinking your blood, we may receive forgiveness of sins and strength for our lives in this world. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for our brothers and sisters in Christ who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labors. Grant comfort to Eric and Michelle and to their family, and be with all who mourn, especially those whose grief is persistent. Preserve us in the faith so that Christ may dwell in our hearts richly until that day when we join all the saints around your throne. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Today's reading is the De Dulami. We pray you, O God, we acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth now worships you, the Father everlasting. To you all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To you, cherubim and seraphim, continually do cry, Holy, holy, holy Lord God. The seventh, heaven and earth are full of the majesty of your glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise you. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise you. The noble army of the martyrs praise you. The holy church throughout all the world does acknowledge you. The Father of infinite majesty, your adorable, true, and only Son, also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. You are the King of glory, O Christ. You are the everlasting Son of the Father. When you look upon yourself to deliver man, you humbled yourself to be born of a virgin. When you had overcome the sharpness of death, you opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You sit at the right hand of God in the glory of the Father. We believe that you will come to be our judge. We therefore pray to your help for servants whom you have redeemed with your precious blood. Make them be numbered with your saints in glory everlasting. O Lord, save your people and bless your heritage. Govern them and lift them up forever. Day by day we magnify you, and we worship your name forever and ever. Grant, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. O Lord, let your mercy be upon us as our trust is in you. O Lord, in you I have trusted. Let me never be confounded.
Thank you.
of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Upon you and give you peace.